If you turn now to 1 Kings chapter 7, reading verses 40 through 51. And we will also be reading chapter 9, verses 10 through 14. And if you can bear it, one more passage, if you would turn back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 36. Reading verses 1 through 12. Beginning then with Numbers chapter 36, verses 1 through 12, this is the word of the Lord. The heads of the fathers' houses of the clan of the people of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh, from the clans of the people of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the chiefs, the heads of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel. They said, "The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the people of Israel, and my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the people of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the people of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. And their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." And Moses commanded the people of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, "The tribe of the people of Joseph is right. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Let them marry whom they think best, only they shall marry within the clan of the tribe of their father. The inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another, for every one of the people of Israel shall hold on to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the people of Israel shall be wife to one of the clan of the tribe of her father, so that every one of the people of Israel may possess the inheritance of his fathers. So no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another. For each of the tribes of the people of Israel shall hold on to its own inheritance." The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses, for Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the clans of the people of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's clan. In 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 40 through 51, Hiram also made the pots, the shovels, and the basins. So Hiram finished all the work that he did for King Solomon on the house of the Lord: the two pillars, the two bowls of the capitals that were on the tops of the pillars, and the two lattice works to cover the two bowls of the capitals that were on the tops of the pillars, and the 400 pomegranates for the two lattice works, two rows of pomegranates for each lattice work, to cover the two bowls of the capitals that were on the pillars, the 10 stands and the 10 basins on the stands, and the one sea and the 12 oxen underneath the sea. Now the pots, the shovels, and the basins, all these vessels in the house of the Lord which Hiram made for King Solomon, were of burnished bronze. In the plain of the Jordan the king cast them, in the clay ground between Sukkoth and Zarethan. And Solomon left all the vessels unweighed, because there were so many of them, the weight of the bronze was not ascertained. So Solomon made all the vessels that were in the house of the Lord: the golden altar, the golden table for the bread of the presence, the lampstands of pure gold, five on the south side and five on the north, before the inner sanctuary, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, the cups, snuffers, basins, dishes for incense, and fire pans of pure gold, and the sockets of gold for the doors of the innermost part of the house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the nave of the temple. Thus all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the vessels, and stored them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. And then finally, 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 10 through 14. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold as much as he desired, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. But when Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given him, they did not please him. Therefore he said, "What kind of cities are these that you have given me, my brother?" So they are called the land of Kabul to this day. Hiram had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. This evening I would like to speak once more, and only once more, if I can promise that, to speak once more on the hope of Hiram, on the witness of Hiram, the king of Tyre. I have ascertained that on account of last week's sermon, some of you are now less persuaded than you were before on what it is that is being revealed to us concerning Hiram. What it is that is being revealed to us about Hiram, particularly in the story of 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 10 through 14, concerning those 20 cities which Solomon gives to Hiram, those 20 cities which were not right in the eyes of Hiram. Now, to understand why Hiram was displeased with these cities, one must understand what Hiram was hoping for, what Hiram was seeking. These two go together, the hope of Hiram and thus the displeasure of Hiram, as something about those cities left his hope unfulfilled, unsatisfied. Now, before we turn to these things, I would remind you that you are not to receive what I say simply because I am your pastor. Not that any of you are in danger of that fallacy, but you are to compare. You are to compare what I preach to you with the Scriptures to see if what is said is in fact the case, if these things are indeed so. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Jews of Berea, they are commended as more noble than those in Thessalonica. And why? Because they received the word with all eagerness. But that is not all. Because they received the word with eagerness, examining the Scriptures to see if the things which were being preached to them were so. And if they were commended for this, for having received the word from the Apostle Paul with eagerness, and having received that word from the Apostle Paul, comparing it to the Scriptures to see if what he said was in fact so, how much more should you, having received the word preached, how much more should you examine the Scriptures to see if what has been preached to you is indeed the word of truth? And so, in discerning the hope of Hiram, in discerning the hope of Hiram, I would certainly encourage you to seek the Scriptures, to examine them, to see if these things are so. For we are very much piecing together something that is implied by the text rather than something that is explicit in the text. It is a call to read the word with humility in this case, to read the word with humility as we seek to mine the depths of Scripture, knowing that all that is written in Scripture was written down for your instruction. Now, having said this, it is my conviction that Hiram is being presented to you as one outside of Israel who possessed the hope of the kingdom of God. That Hiram is being presented to you as a stranger to the covenants, a stranger to Christ, who nevertheless possesses the hope of the kingdom of heaven, that he might not remain a stranger, that he might not remain outside. This hope, it is set over against the temptation of Solomon. The temptation of Solomon to seek a kingdom of this world. A hope that is set over against the temptation of Solomon to idolatry, to things that can be touched, to things that can be handled, to things that can be controlled. It is a temptation to which, as you know, he succumbs. Chapter 11, verse 4, when his heart is turned away from the Lord to worship idols, the many gods of the many foreign women whom he took to himself in marriage. Now, if we compare the relationship between Hiram and Solomon with Solomon and other nations, we will recognize a difference between Hiram and these other nations. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, we read that Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And for the daughter of Pharaoh, 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 8, Solomon made a house like his own house. This alliance was for the purpose of mutual benefit between Israel and Egypt, to strengthen, to enrich both kingdoms by one another. Even though Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16 had warned the people against this very thing, had warned the people against their king causing the people to return to Egypt. The Lord having said, "You shall never return that way again." By making a marriage alliance with the kingdom of Egypt, Solomon reduces the kingdom of God to something less than it is. Solomon reduces the kingdom of God to one kingdom among many of the kingdoms of the earth, each seeking glory upon the earth. That glory symbolized in the house that Solomon builds for himself and the house that he builds for the daughter of Pharaoh, patterned after the house that he builds for himself. That house, as we have seen in 1 Kings chapter 7, that house, a house made with hands, a house that is of this creation. Now, if we compare the marriage alliance between Solomon and Pharaoh and recognize its worldly character, if we compare the marriage alliance between Solomon and Pharaoh in 1 Kings chapter 3 to the treaty or the covenant between Solomon and Hiram in 1 Kings chapter 5, we see a difference. There is a difference between that marriage alliance and between the covenant. First Kings chapter 5 opens by telling us what? What does it tell us about Hiram? What does it tell us about the king of Tyre? That he had always loved David. It tells us that the king had always loved David. And Solomon requests of Hiram that Hiram provide for him material from Lebanon for the building of the house of the Lord. Solomon agreeing to pay the wages of the servants of Hiram to provide for their sustenance, to provide for the house of Hiram, so long as he is at work with Solomon on the house of the Lord. And what is Hiram's response? Hiram rejoices. He rejoices in the wisdom of Solomon. He rejoices in the wisdom of the son God gave to David to rule the kingdom in his place upon his throne. He rejoices in the purpose of Solomon, his purpose to build the temple of the Lord. He rejoices in this task. Nowhere do we see Hiram seeking to be enriched. Nowhere do we see Hiram seeking anything other than the building of the temple of the Lord. Hiram is introduced to us as rejoicing in the purpose of the Lord. Hiram is introduced to us as one who sees Solomon as the man of wisdom that will bring to completion that purpose of the Lord. There is nothing in 1 Kings chapter 5 that would suggest to us that Hiram was seeking anything more than what was agreed upon. That is, anything more in the way of gifts or payment from Solomon. There is nothing in 1 Kings chapter 5 that would suggest that Hiram was seeking the expansion of his own kingdom. That Hiram was seeking cities for the kingdom of Tyre. And so, at this point, we may ask again, what is it about those cities? What is it about these 20 cities, the cities that Solomon gives to Hiram, what is it about them that brings about the displeasure of Hiram? Now, there are at least two ways to answer this question. The first is that Hiram goes and sees those cities, and he finds the condition of those cities not right in his eyes. That they are smaller than he was hoping for, or less developed than he was hoping for, or less prosperous than he was hoping for. The second is that Hiram found the place of those cities not right in his eyes. And I have been arguing for this second approach, that Hiram was displeased. That Hiram was displeased with these cities because they were cities in the land of Galilee. Cities in Galilee of the Gentiles. That is why they are not right in Hiram's eyes. Not on account of their size, not on account of their prosperity or the lack thereof, but rather upon their location. Now, again, admittedly, if it is their location, rather than their condition, that brings about the displeasure of Hiram, why does he go to see them at all? We certainly cannot ignore that Hiram goes to see them. We cannot ignore that having seen them, he is disappointed. it is certainly the case that there is something about what he sees that is related to the disappointment of Hiram. But even acknowledging this, we must still ask the question, what was it that he was hoping to see? What was it that he was hoping to see that he did not see? Or perhaps, what was it that he hoped not to see that he does see? Why does he name those cities the land of Kabul? Why does he name those cities the land of bondage? Or perhaps translated, the land of nothing. After all, the 20 cities which Solomon gives to Hiram, they were a gift. They were not payments. Is Hiram showing worldly disappointment, ingratitude? Or is the text perhaps about Solomon's own lack of gratitude, giving such poor cities as a reward for Hiram's labors upon the temple? I would suggest to you that it is not so much Solomon's lack of gratitude, but it is Solomon's lack of wisdom. It is Solomon's lack of wisdom in his gift, that very quality of Solomon which Hiram at first praises, blessing the Lord for the wisdom that he had given to Solomon. What is this lack of wisdom that Solomon conveys in his gift? What revealed the wisdom of Solomon to Hiram at first? What was it that Solomon said that revealed to Hiram the wisdom of Solomon? Was it not this? Solomon's desire to build the house of the Lord. That house, a symbol of a dwelling place made without hands. That house, a symbol of the inheritance of God for his people. Hiram was not seeking to expand the kingdom of Tyre. Rather, he was seeking the kingdom of God. Second Chronicles chapter 8, which is the parallel passage in Chronicles to our passage in the book of Kings, it is helpful here. We read something rather interesting there. In Second Chronicles chapter 8, verse 1, we read this, at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, at the end of 20 years, Solomon rebuilt the cities that Hiram had given to him and settled the people of Israel in them. In 1 Kings, it is Solomon who gives cities to Hiram. But in 2 Chronicles, it is Hiram who has given cities to Solomon. What are we to make of these things? Now, leaving aside an attempt to reconcile these two passages with one another, we may recognize something about Hiram. Something about what we are saying, that Hiram was not seeking to expand the kingdom of Tyre. But rather that he was seeking to expand the kingdom of Israel. fleeing the cities of Galilee. Hiram was seeking one city, of which the temple was a type, the city of God. What does Hiram see in these cities of Galilee? What does Hiram see in these cities of Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations? He sees earthly cities. What does he not see? A heavenly one. What cities are these that you have given to me, my brother? Hiram is seeking from Solomon a reward, but not an earthly reward. Hiram is seeking from Solomon an inheritance, but not an earthly one. Hiram is seeking from Solomon a greater inheritance, one that cannot be enjoyed even if one were to possess all the cities of the earth. It is possible to gain the world and to lose your soul. Hiram was seeking a city. Hiram was seeking a city that has no comparison in this world. Hiram's disappointment, Hiram's displeasure, Hiram's displeasure with what Solomon had done, is Hiram's recognition that Solomon has begun to conflate the two. Solomon has begun to conflate the two, the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of this world. Solomon has begun to mistake the shadow for the reality, as we saw in the building of his own house. We are interpreting the hope of Hiram, and thus the disappointment of Hiram, we are interpreting it according to the great theme with which 1 Kings opens, kingdom consummation, the dwelling place of God with man upon his holy hill. It is the fact that Hiram calls Solomon my brother, together with the fact that his name means my brother is exalted, together with Hiram's rejoicing in Solomon's wisdom and Solomon's purpose to build the house of the Lord, together with his contribution to that purpose, the contribution of his own wealth, the contribution of his own skill. It is these things that directs us to understand the hope of Hiram as a hope for the kingdom of God, for an inheritance in that kingdom that cannot be taken away, to become a fellow heir of God with Solomon, to become a fellow heir of God with Christ. Hiram did not seek the expansion of the kingdom of Tyre. Rather, he sought a portion in the kingdom of God. Now, in addition to the things that we have said these past two Lord's days that direct us to the hope of Hiram, I would add one final piece of evidence that the place of Hiram's hope is what is at issue. That it is the place of Hiram's hope that is what is at issue. That this is so is strengthened by a consideration of Hiram's lineage. That is, Hiram, the worker of bronze. Hiram, who was from Tyre. Now again, whether Hiram the king and Hiram the builder are two different persons, or whether they are the same, 1 Kings chapter 7 closely identifies them. 1 Kings chapter 7 closely identifies them so that the work of Hiram the builder is described in 1 Kings chapter 7 verse 46 as the work of the king, as though it were the king himself who was working the bronze. Now this Hiram, from where does he come? His mother is from the tribe of Naphtali, but his father was a man of Tyre. His mother, one of the people of Israel, marries outside of Israel. And what would that mean for her? What would that mean for her to marry outside of her tribe? To marry outside of her people? It would mean that she was forfeiting her inheritance. That she was giving it up. Numbers chapter 36, which we read, concerning the daughters of Zelophehad. Moses had ruled according to the word of the Lord in Numbers 27 that the inheritance of their father, who died without sons, would pass to them, his daughters. But then the heads of Manasseh, the tribe to which Zelophehad belonged, they come and they ask Moses, what is to become of this inheritance if those daughters marry outside of their tribe? Would that inheritance then be given to the other tribe into which they married? And Moses responds, let the daughters of Zelophehad marry whom they think best, only let them marry within the clan of the tribe of their father, so that the inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another. For every one of the people of Israel shall hold to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Whatever inheritance belonged to the mother of Hiram, she gave it up. She gave it up to marry his father, a man of Tyre. Now here it gets interesting. We have been speaking of Galilee as Galilee of the nations, as Galilee of the Gentiles, on account of the language of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1. But there in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1, this phrase, Galilee of the Gentiles, it stands in opposition to another phrase. The land beyond the Jordan, the land of Zebulun, and the land of Naphtali. The land of Naphtali. The land of Naphtali is described by Isaiah as Galilee of the nations, as Galilee of the Gentiles, the very land from which Hiram's mother comes, the very inheritance which she gave up. What are we saying? We're saying this. Even if one were to suppose that these 20 cities of Galilee were within the borders of Israel. And thus, that the place of those cities was not at issue. Even if one were to suppose that these 20 cities of Galilee were within the borders of Israel, Hiram recognizes that there is for him, according to the flesh, there, in that place, no inheritance in the people of God. For that land, which becomes in Isaiah no different from the land of the nations, Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles, one of the kingdoms of the earth. For that land is for Hiram, according to the flesh, no inheritance in the people at all. Even if they belonged to the land, he could not have kept them. These were not the cities which Hiram sought. These were not the cities which Hiram sought, even had they been the largest and most prosperous cities upon the earth. Perhaps we may say that the very thing that was wrong with these cities was that they could be seen at all. Hiram, like Abraham, was not seeking an earthly city, was not seeking an earthly inheritance, was not seeking an earthly reward, but rather he sought in Solomon another city, that city which is to come, a better country, a heavenly one. That city he did not receive from Solomon. And what Solomon did give him, what he did receive from Solomon, could not compare. That city he did not receive from Solomon, but this is the city that you have received from Christ. How did Hiram bear witness to that city? By letting go of the cities of this world. And how then shall you bear witness to the hope of Hiram? By seeking after that same city which he sought. By seeking after one city alone, the city of God that comes down out of heaven above. This is the city which we preach. This is the city which we seek.
Amen. Let us pray.